I'm going to preach. I don't know where all this is going to tonight, so just hang on your hat and let's go to roll. But let me say this first of all. There's 150 psalms in the book of Psalms. Now, most, but not all, as you know, are written by David, but not all of them written by David. But if you get to thinking about it, there's a principle in the book of Psalms that people need to get a hold of. And that is this. If you've got 150 psalms and you do a numerics run on it, if you take that, divide that by 3, which is a number of divine, the 3 into 150 is 50, and 50 is a number of jubilee. If you divide it, so that, but you got the 50 deal is divisible by 5, which is number of grace. And, but if you take the 50 and divide it by 5, take it 5 times 10, that's a testimony of God's grace. But 50 is jubilee, in other words, joy. And you know, if you want to get your joy back, get in the book of Psalms. If you want to get happy again in the Lord, get in the book of Psalms. You want to come out of the valley, get in the book of Psalms and it'll help you. When I'm dealing with people that's down and out and struggling and having a hard time, I always try to give them to read at least 5 psalms a day. You can read through it in 30 days if you'll read 5 psalms per day. And so, I believe the book of Psalms is a book that teaches us that no matter what comes our way in life, that we can be blessed of God. We can still enjoy God's blessings and see God's blessings even in the trials and the trouble and so forth. And in the first, I want to preach on these first 5 psalms a little bit tonight. And just take off of it. Psalms chapter 1, we're just going to do a Bible study kind of, and it'll probably wind up preaching some. But in the first chapter of Psalms, one of the most famous passages of Scripture in the Bible, what I want to preach tonight is on the blessings of a godly person that God wants to give us and God has done for us, and pray that you just help you to enter into those blessings and enjoy them. The first chapter of the book of Psalms is teaching us about the steps, the blessings of the steps of a godly man. The steps of a godly man. And when you get into that thing real quick, you can see there's a blessing is a man that walketh. Now, there's the steps of a godly man. And I want to tell you now, if you want to get blessed, and this is where the churches are missing it. I'm talking about, listen, you don't have to have a substitute for the Holy Ghost if you really understand, if you get into the Bible and just do what it says. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And I want you to notice the very first thing that walking with God will do for you, it'll separate you. Let me tell you something. Separation is a Bible doctrine. It's not a popular Bible doctrine, but it's a Bible doctrine, and it's separation is where you get blessing. Now, I'm not talking about going off down to monastery, but I am talking tonight. Lord, help me to preach. I need help, God. Without you, I can't do a thing. And Holy Spirit, I pray you'll just open up and use me as a vessel tonight to preach and to the glory of God and the help of these people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so what I'm saying tonight is that when God went down to Israel, even when they lived in the land of Egypt, did you know God kept them separate? When He said, I'm going to take you out of Egypt, God said, I'm going to take you out and separate you a people unto myself. Whenever He got them out of Egypt, He had the cloud and the pillar, and God always kept them separate. God is a separation God. I want to tell you, I was talking to the brother there a while ago. I want to tell you something. God's a bigot. God's prejudiced. God's, I'm telling you, you listen to me tonight, God's a racist. Yes, sir. And God's a genocidist. You see, I'll tell you something. When your kids walk into these colleges, and I don't know where this rabbit trail is running, but they walk into college and say, you serve a God that just has people slaughtered? Read your Bible. You have a God that wants people to be separate from other people? Read your Bible. And I'm telling you something tonight, but the principle of Christian separation is this, that we're to be separated from evil. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I don't tell you, if you want to get blessed, get separated after you get saved. Let God separate you from this world. Let God cut you off from all that junk. I mean, when God saved me, He cut my hair, He separated my hair off my head and everything else. That's a fact. I'm telling you what, I mean, God separated. I used to have hair down my shoulders. He separated my friends. I mean, I'm telling you, God just started, and He's been separating me ever since. He said, you'll even get separated from your family members. You'll get separated from your loved ones, your friends. I'll tell you what, God is a God of separation. He has nothing to do with evil. God is holy. God, evil doesn't dwell in His presence. I'm telling you, listen, God is a God of separation. You want to have a good time with God? You want to get blessed? Get separated. Now, as I said, the world don't like it, and they'll make fun of you for it. But I'm going to tell you something. Be separate in your talk. Be separate in your conduct. Be separate in your dress. Be separate in your activities. Be separate, amen. God bless you. You say, man, I ain't happy. Let God separate you. Let God separate you from this world and the things of this world, and you'll start being happy in Jesus Christ. There ain't nobody, a lost man's got more joy than a Christian who's not living separated. At least he knows where he's at. Amen. But a person, a Christian who won't let God separate him from this world is a miserable person. I'm just saying this to you, that you'll never be blessed until God says you're separate. That's the first thing out of the hatch in the whole book of Psalms is separation. The doctrine, wherefore come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. God wants you to get separated. And the more you separate your, let God separate yourself from the world unto Him. Now listen, separation is not just separating from, it's separating unto the Lord. And the more you get separated unto Christ, the happier you're going to be. Now there's another thing there. Not only God wants to be separated, but in verse number 2, He wants to be saturated. Not saturated fats, saturated, amen. He wants you to be saturated with the Word of God. Look at verse 2. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and His law doth He meditate day and night. God wants you to saturate yourself in the Word of God. You want to be blessed? Get in the Bible, amen. Hey, get out of today's farmer. Or woman's recipe book. Well, unless you're cooking good, that's all right. You can get in that recipe book something. But I mean, take you ain't careful. You're buying every little magazine. You're looking on this. You're doing that. You're reading everything in the world but the Bible. And you wonder why you're not blessed, why you're not happy. I'm telling you something. If you'll saturate yourself in the Word of God, it's going to be hard for the devil to keep you down. But if you just sit there and, oh my goodness, did you see that on the news today? Mercy, mercy, mercy. Boy, it's a getting bad. Whoop! You see that? That makes me mad. I'll tell you what, I'm not only depressed, I'm fighting mad with and depressed. Now, if you ain't careful, that's how you live your life. God don't want you that way. Saturate yourself in the Word of God. You know why? I'm not worried about the future. God knows the future. He's there. He's sovereign. He's over it all. I don't have to worry about it. I got to run on this thing. But number 3, verse number 3 in Psalms 1, the steps of a good man, he'll situate you. He'll situate you. You see, he said, you should be like a tree planted. Got to put your roots down. Got to get you solid. Got to get you established. Got to get you rooted and grounded in the faith. If you'll, separate, let God separate you, and then you let God saturate you with the Word of God, then God will situate you, and you don't get blown around by every wind of doctrine. You're not blown here and there and yonder and up one day and down there. You're not all that gone out everywhere here. You see, you get situated in the Word of God. And so, that you get out of that, that's chapter number 1. Let's all stand, be dismissed, go home and join chapter number 2. Chapter number 2, chapter number 1 gives you steps of a saved man, but chapter number 2 gives you something sweet. Now, God's leading you now to something. He's leading you to something as you go through. He gives you the security of a saved man. Now, I want to tell you, this is a blessed. The United Nations hates this chapter. I mean, the heathen hate this chapter. The liberals hate this chapter. I can promise you Hillary Clinton hates this chapter. Oh, I'm telling you, Barack Obama, they hate this chapter. Look at this chapter. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves against the rulers and the rulers take counsel together. Wow. Against the Lord. Can I tell you something? That every government in this world has set themselves against God. Including the United States government, is setting themselves against God. United Nations is an anti-God, God's organization, and it has set itself against God. And they set against the Lord and His anointed. Now who's that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ saying, here's what they want. Here's what the world wants. And this is what the ACLU and the liberals and the progressives and all the, and the Republican, economic Republicans, let us break their bands. Whose bands? God's bands. Asunder and cast away their cords from us. You know what they're saying? We don't want a God who has the authority to tell us what to do and how to live. We don't want a God that has authority over our life, and they're saying, God, get out of our life. And that's what they've done. They put Him out of our schools. They put Him out of our courts. They put Him out of our government. It's almost like it's a crime to read the Bible, pray, or even say you're a Christian in America nowadays. You're some kind of threat to society. They just arrested a man 6 months in jail in Phoenix, Arizona for having a Bible study in his house. The city found him guilty and sentenced him to get ready to serve 6 months for having a Bible study in his house in America. Just this week up in Minnesota, a man was denied his First Amendment rights. For about 12 years, he's been passing out Bibles at a sodomite parade up there. And this year they got the court to say that he does not have a constitutional right to go down the street and hand out Bibles to them sodomites. He makes them so mad. But the sodomites think it's all right to come into your restaurant and you got to serve them. Okay, they're the biggest bunch of hypocritical bunch of pack of liars I've ever seen in my life. But I'm going to tell you, they hate God. You know what their problem is? They hate God and they do not want this Bible telling them the truth. They don't want a God that can send them to hell. Let me tell you a little bit about God you need to understand tonight. You think God's a lovey-dovey, sweetie pie, little boy wringing his hands up in heaven? Let me tell you what he did in Noah's day. He sent everybody to hell except Noah and his family. Kids, mama, daddy, and everybody gone. Put you out of here. We better, let me tell you something. You see, they do not want a God who is sovereign, holy, and does what he wants to do. And here's, let me tell you where your security is. You say, Reggie, what are you talking about security in this? Let me tell you why it gives them security. You read that passage of scripture. Let's go. Verse number 4. He that sitteth in the heavens is going to do something. Laugh. God will, he's laughing at the UN. He's laughing at these countries that are denying him. And the Lord shall have him in derision. If that doesn't describe America, I never say it here. They're confused. They don't know which way to go. Nobody knows what to do. The economy's bad. What are we going to do? The jobs are going down. I got news for you. It's going to get worse if we don't get back to God. And I'm saying to you tonight that this, the nations are there. But here's the deal. God is in heaven. He's not up there. Oh, my land sakes alive. Can you believe who they voted in? Oh, my land alive. What are they doing? God's sitting up. You know what he's doing tonight? Those that are laughing, you don't want him. He's laughing at him tonight. And he has them in derision. They're not a step ahead of God. God is so far ahead of them. God is a sovereign. Now you say, Reggie, what are you talking about security? My security tonight is not, now grab onto your seat, it's not even in my knowledge of the Bible. My security tonight is in the sovereignty of Almighty God, that he is sovereign. God is overall. God doesn't have to ask you, me, anybody else what to do, when to do it, how to do it, whether it's right or wrong. He doesn't. He wouldn't give a flip for your opinion about it. And you have no authority. You have no basis of nothing about it. You don't twist his mind. You don't do nothing. God is sovereign. God is on his throne tonight. God is not shook up. And because of that, I'm secure tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I mentioned about salvation this morning. I'm going to tell you something. My salvation is secure because of the sovereignty of God. Hey! I wouldn't give you a flip nickel for a God that couldn't keep me saved. Woo! Some of you got this junk out on the... Somebody's really brave, aren't they? They caught us while we were in church this morning and went out and put envelopes on our windshields while we were in here having church. And it's all about... See, I got a whole pack of preachers in this country hate my guts because I believe in eternal salvation. And they don't like me to start with, but they use that. Well, they just tell everybody, he believes you can't lose your salvation. You know what he really believes, don't you? And they come in to hear church, and it's the first thing that was in that letter, if you read it, was about losing your salvation. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Then people go around and say, they'll say, you know, here's what they'll say. Well, if I believe that, I'd go out and live any way I want to. And they're not saved if they say that. You know what that tells me? They don't have a clue what salvation does to you. When they say, if I believe that, I'd go out and live like I want to, that tells me they don't even know salvation. Hey, I believe like that, and I don't think I can go out and do anything I want to. I'll tell you, that's a bald-faced bunch of pack of lies is what that is. Let me tell you, when you get saved by grace, buddy, you'll want to please God. I'll tell you, you'll grieve when you sin. You'll hurt when you sin against God. It'll grieve your heart. I want to tell you something. You don't have an attitude. When you're saved, you don't have an attitude. Well, I can go out and drink beer, do everything I want to, and live like the devil. You're not even saved, and you don't know salvation if you think like that. They tell on themselves when they make those kind of statements. Shame on them. You say, what are you talking about? I'm secure because God is sovereign. Bless God, I'm enjoying my salvation. I'm not enduring. I got in the ark. I ain't hanging on the outside. Yeah. Amen. Listen to them clouds. Listen to that bunch of stuff. You'd think you drove a spike in the side of the ark and hanging on. You would never make it. You'd give out in 15 minutes and you know you would. I'm going to tell you, I'm in the ark. Amen. And the door's sealed by God and God shut the door. And I'm in Christ. You ought to start believing that. You might get happy too. Amen. I'm going to tell you, listen, I believe in eternal salvation. And I don't feel that you can go out and live any way you want to. I'll tell you what God will do. God will move you to live. I'll tell you, the older I get, the further I go, I'm going to tell you what, I want to live right. I want to do right. And when I don't, it grieves me. I'll tell you, I like to be right. I'll tell you, I got the humbleness thing before church. Can you believe it rained like it rained? It's been days we ain't had no rain, right? Dry, hard, ground hard. I had the skid steer loader in the yard. And my wife told me yesterday, she said, you know you ought to move that out because it might rain and the yard to get soft. Yeah. I said, rain? Yeah. I left it there. All this evening before church, I was walking around the house going. Pretty soon I said, just well, fess it up. I said, Karen, one of these days I'll start listening to you. She said, yeah, you should have moved that skid steer, shouldn't you? Hey, I like to be right, amen. And I know this, and God is right, and this Bible's right, even though Reggie ain't. All right, now let's go to. Aren't you glad that God's sovereign? And because He's sovereign, we could be secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. I could go all through that chapter, man. I would talk about a great chapter, but we got to move on because this is introduction. Chapter number three. God gives you now the sleep. Some of you just had a murmur, heart murmur. Hey, man, just there's a lot of empty pews. Find one, lay down. Amen. I'll preach. If I can't keep you awake, help yourself. Go to sleep. But in Psalms chapter three, see, in the first chapter we had what, the steps of a godly man. Chapter two, we have the security of a godly man. Chapter three, we have the sleep of a godly man. You say, wait a minute, Reggie, where are you getting that from? Look up here in verse number five, chapter three. I laid me down and slept. I wait for the Lord to sustain me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that set themselves against me round about. Did you know something that God teaches us? That in spite of our troubles, and in spite of our enemies, in spite of our trials, in spite of everything, that we can rest. There is a rest unto the people of God. And I'm telling you something, there's a sleep for my soul in the sense of that I don't have to be all agitated and worried and taking popping pills and doing this, that, and the other, all tore up about things. You see, because my steps are ordered of the Lord, I'm secure in the Lord, now I can rest in the Lord. Does that make sense? You see where David's taking this thing? See, if you ever find out that it's all Christ and that God is sovereign, you can rest. You can rest. You can lay down tonight. God comes, I'm gone. I don't have to worry. He's my keeper. God gives us rest. I'm telling you something. You ought to get a hold of this. Did you know we're selling sleeping pills in this country like 90 miles an hour? Now, I know you can get depleted on some things and have to get repleted. I understand that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these whizzos that knock you out. Anyway. But let's go to chapter 4. Y'all don't like that chapter? Let's go to chapter 4. So I'm afraid if I preach on sleeping, some of you try to practice it while I'm preaching. But here's the sweetest thing in the world. Now, I mean this, Psalm Mark. You got the steps of a good man. Learn how to be separated from the Lord. And then you get in there, you learn the security of God, that He's sovereign. You get in chapter 3, you learn that you can have sleep. You can rest in the Lord, that you're safe in the Lord. I mean, just, you know, and you're just resting in the Lord. And you know what you get in chapter 4? You get the shout of a saved man. Look in chapter 4, up there in verse number 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. I wish the church would get a hold of that. You know what you'd think? That the Lord, ever since we got saved, boy, it's been tough. It tastes bad. I wouldn't recommend it. That is almost the attitude that seems like we give the world. Where is the joy of the Lord that's our strength? Hey! He said, God's directed my steps. He's separated me. He's made me secure. He's given me rest in my soul. He said, I can shout about it now. I've got something glad in my heart. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you something. We ought to be the gladdest people on this side of eternity. Amen. I mean, folks, listen tonight. If we're saved, we ought to be glad. I got so much to be thankful for. I can't even hardly count my blessings. God is so good. I've got this Word of God. His Spirit dwells within me. I've got peace with God. My sins are forgiven. He's built me a mansion. He's coming back after me. Thank you. It's kind of like, you know, remember, I always think about the church service. The old preacher was preaching his heart out. Sweat was just throwing off of him. People were sitting back there. And a guy come in to steal the coats. He's back there and he's sitting there stealing the coats. And he said, hey, he said, somebody, there's a thief back there stealing your hats and coats. And one of the boys said, amen. And the guy ran out. Come back in. Say, he's back again. He's stealing them all. He's getting them all. Some old boy said, amen. Church got over. They went and started leaving. Everybody said, our coats and hats is gone. He said, I was trying to tell you. Well, they said, we thought you'd just preach it. Yeah. That's a lot of times what people just think. I'm going to church tonight. He's just preaching. You know, God wants to give you something tonight. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to go to heaven with a sour pickle in your nose. I mean, you just don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. But David said, thou. Now, here it is. Thou. He didn't say Reggie put it there. He didn't say your husband put it there. He didn't say your parents put it there. He said, thou, God, put gladness in my heart. You know, hey, that's where you need it, inside your heart. Amen. Well, anyway, you say, Reggie, what about shouting? I believe in shouting. That's why I preach when I shout. You say, Reggie, why you do that? Well, I always shouted when I went to a ball game. That didn't amount to a hill of beans. Every once in a while, you know, we get in church. I mean, you heard about the old boy, old heathen got saved. This funny boy, old heathen got saved, you know, and he got into church. The boy preacher got to preaching about the blood, about the forgiveness, about heaven. He jumped up and said, "Hot dog, hot dog." He didn't know to say hallelujah. He said, "Hot dog, amen." I'd like somebody to just say hot dog every once in a while, you know. Somebody's going down to court, stop, pops up, three-pointer. Woo-hoo! Your little eight-year-old dribbles down there at the three-point line and pops a three-pointer in. I mean, you, them deadbeat daddies in church and with them little old mamas that come out of the bleachers. Woo! That's my boy! I mean, you know, take a stupid little idiotic ball that won't even bounce. Go across the stupid line, everybody beating each other up, and he gets across the line, and everybody comes off the bleachers about it. Good grief. Touchdown! Woo! You know what? Can I tell you something? People get saved a million, zillion, zillion times bigger deal than a touchdown, and people in church won't even get happy about it. Pitiful. I mean, we're shouting about the things we ought to shut up about, and we're not shouting about the things we should be. You get into chapter 5, and he says, now, he said, I not only want to direct your steps, he says, I not only want to give you security in the sovereignty of God. He said, I not only want to give you rest in the Lord, but he said, and by that, you got something to shout about and have a good time about in life and enjoy life about. But he said, I want to teach you in verse number 5 something, and you'll catch this theme throughout chapter number 5. He wants to be your shield. And that's what I want to preach about tonight. When you take off down through chapter 5, David gets down there to about verse number 6, and he gets to talking about the enemies of God. And he said, watch verse number 6. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. Get down in verse number 10. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. And David's dealing with his enemies right here. And don't tell you something, David had a lot of enemies. David, from the time after he killed Goliath, basically, he was hunted and had nothing but trouble nearly the rest of his life. If he wasn't hunted by Saul, he would have been hunted by his own son. And he just had enemies and he had problems. And David's going to give you something tonight that'll help you. When you leave this church house, I want you to get this. Look at verse number 12, what he finishes it up with. Verse number 12. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. In chapter 5, he said, God said, I will be the shield of the godly man. And I want you to notice the shield tonight. He said, I will compass him. You know what that means? That all around you, watch this tonight, all around you there's the shield. God, and you can look, and I looked it up today, I would say probably 25 times in the book of Psalms, David said, he is my shield. He is my shield and my buckler. He is my shield. Thou art my shield. The shield of salvation. You get in the New Testament, take up the shield of faith. And God is our shield. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. There's one thing. Here's what he's trying to get across. He's saying this, that the enemy is going to try to mess up your steps. Chapter 1. The enemy is going to try to deny your security. Chapter 2. The enemy is going to try to disturb your sleep, your rest. And chapter 4, the enemy is going to try to take the shout out of you. But it said chapter 5 will tell you how to keep that from happening. God is your shield. And he's got that shield compassed about you. Don't you hate dogs? No. We was at Mountain Grove the other day, and I know I'm going to lose about 90% of you right here. But I'll show you something in the Bible here in a little bit. We was in Mountain Grove a week ago Saturday passing out tracts and CDs and so forth. And I mean to tell you what, I know what, I'm going to get in the dog food business. Because I'm telling you, there's a dog in every house. If not 3, 4, and then 5 or 6 outside. There's dogs everywhere, and I know they're not all eating slop. Somebody are buying a lot of dog food for them dogs. And I went up to one house, and I walked around, and there's a chain link. Good grief, alive, you know. An old dog running right up to the chain link fence, you know. I thought, you sorry thing. If I had a pistol, I'd shoot you in the head. Oh, I don't like imitation. The Bible says dogs are without. The Bible said dogs are unclean animals. Yeah. They'll vomit and eat it and then turn around and lick on you. Yeah. The Bible said dogs are without, so that means dogs go to hell. That's why they call them hot dogs. Amen. Deep theology, amen. Deep theology. No, I'm trying to get to an illustration. I heard no boy tell about this one time. He's out on visitation, just like I was the day. And he said, man, Live, he said, I walked up to this house. You know, but it's really kind of like the same thing. He said, I walked up to this house, and he said, when you're in these inner cities, he said, you got to really be careful because everybody's got a mean dog there. But he said, you figured out, he said, after I visited enough homes, said, I figured out how to do it. He said, you walk up there, if they got a chain link fence, number one, they got a dog. They got a dog. They have a dog. They have a dog and a bad dog if they got a chain link fence. So he said, I walked up there, and he said, I could see this chain link fence, and he said, I could see the dog path in the yard. They got a dog. I ain't going in. I holler. But he said, I figured out how to, you always foolproof way to get the dog in action. Take your foot and hit that chain link fence. Bang, bang, bang. He said, that'll bring him out from underneath the porch every time. He said, you rattle that chain link fence and that dog will come out. He said, no dog came out. He thought, you know, I bet the old dog died. Probably recently, probably had a funeral for it here just recently. And he said, boy, he said, dog never come out. And he said, so I opened up the chain link deal to go in the yard, to go up to the house. And he said, I just turned around and latched it. And he said, and he said, I turned around and he said, the biggest, stinkingest, ugly, demon-infested Rottweiler dog you ever saw in your life was coming around the corner of that house and had a log chain now near tied to his neck. And it wasn't slowing him down a bit. And he said, his eyes was bloody and his lips was pushed out and frothing at the mouth. And he was coming straight at me. And I could hear him. He said, I began to sing, Lord, I'm coming home. He said, the dog stopped and had prayer and said, Lord, bless this food I'm about to take. It's getting bad. And he said, dog coming in. He said, I scared him daylight out of him. But he said, all of a sudden, he said, that dog hit the end of that chain. Kaboom! He said, that dog fell over and hit the ground. And he said, when he did that, I spit on him. And he said, I taunted him. He said, that chain had him. And he said, the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'm your shield. You listen to me. The devil cannot touch you without getting permission from God. God's got him on a chain, folks. And he can't touch you. He has God the shield. God is your shield, and he has you compassed about. He can't even get to you from the backside. You're compassed about with a shield of God. I wish we'd believe that. Sure, take a lot of worry out of your life. This is what David's trying to tell you. If you'll understand and believe the Bible doctrine, how many really believe that God is omnipresent? He's everywhere. You believe God's all powerful? Okay. You believe God's all knowing? Okay, if God is that, and God says He's a shield to you, and He compassed you to be a shield, do you think the devil can get to you without Him letting Him? You see, that's in the Bible because the devil wanted to get at Job. He couldn't until he got God's permission. And God is telling you and I that Satan has no access to us except when God gives him permission. And if he never does that, it's for our good and for God's glory. And there's a purpose in it. You can rest assured, even when he has led him through the fence, there's a reason for him letting you do that. Now, this thing about a shield is pretty interesting. I'll give this to you and we'll go home tonight. But I wouldn't recommend that you taunt Rottweilers, but anyway. And I don't hate dogs. At least dead ones, I don't hate them. No, I like a good dog around, but there's very few good ones. We better move on to another subject. I know your dog's the sweetest little thing in Texas, but we don't think so, do we? All right. I want you to get this in your soul, that the devil has to go through God to get to you. The shield in the Bible is a type of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. He said he compassed me with a shield. And I want to give you this. This is such a blessing. The shields in biblical days, the most common shield was 3 foot wide, watch this, and 6 foot tall. And it was held like this, and it could protect you completely. And it did a semi-arc so that it would deflect arrows and the fiery darts and so forth, and it totally protects you. You see, when the short shields, they could come in and slash your legs and your ankles. But a shield like that, you could drop that sucker and you were just protected everywhere. Also, they, whenever they got united, well, watch this. You talk about a church doctrine, church listen. They could take those shields and put them right side by side and all, they could shoot arrows and all that junk and they'd just come down and just be like a shield to that whole group of soldiers. And they were protected. But here's an interesting thing. Those shields were made out of brass. Very finely thinned, hammered brass. As thin as it could be and still hold and do the job it's supposed to do. Brass is a picture of judgment in the Bible. And what it's teaching is this, that you and I are under judgment and the fiery darts of the wicked are coming after us, but our shield has taken our judgment. Jesus Christ took our judgment on the cross of Jesus, on the cross of Calvary. Further than that, you know what else they did with those shields? They took animals and they slay an animal and they covered those shields with animal skins. There was a reason they did that. But it's a picture of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, taking our judgment and the fiery darts of the wicked being quenched by our shield. And He is our shield. There are several things. You know, you drove to church tonight in rain. Did you know tonight that you were protected by a shield? We call them a wind shield. We use shields all the time. We understand the concept that we're so used to it, we've quit appreciating it. There's some things right here I want to give you. Number one, a shield is a pavilion in the storms of life. They said the soldiers would take those three of the six, and if they got into a storm like we got into the sea, what can anybody guess what they'd do? You think they'd just put them down like this? They'd take them right up like this. And the shield would protect. They could literally set in it. Two or three of them could get together and have a picnic, prop the shields up and have a picnic in a little tent covered. And they were shielded from the storms of life. Did you know I look back over my life now and I realize that God has shielded me through the storms. He's been my shield. And He's your shield tonight. I hope tonight the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart and say and make you realize what a shield that God has been to you. He is my shelter in the storm. A shield is not only a pavilion in the storm, but it purifies the road that you travel. I didn't know this. They would take those shields and on the bottom side they'd make them sharp. And you know what they do with them? Clear out brush with them. Clear out, make a way where they could get through and travel. And they cleared the brush with them. They could take that shield and just whack with it. It was a multi-instrument. By the way, if you lived in that day and so forth, you'd understand this a lot better. But any tool that's a multi-use tool is a pretty good tool. And they would clear their way. And you know what God the Holy Ghost is doing? God the Holy Ghost is not only pavilion covering you and from the storms of life, but He's going in front of you and clearing the way for you. He's filling up the potholes and He's taking that care of the ditches and He's taking care of the stumps and things so you can make it through life. He's your shield. Number three, prisoners are rescued with the shield. Now remember, they're 3 foot wide, 6 foot long. Did you know what they used to say that the Israeli soldiers would do, the Jewish soldiers would do in their wars with the Philistines and stuff? Then let me tell you something. They were in hand-to-hand combat, okay? And so once in a while, maybe a right flank or a left flank would get attacked or somebody would break through and they would take their soldiers prisoner. This will bless your heart. And a man gets taken captive. They said that the soldiers would break through before they even ever left the battlefield. Anything, one of the main deal was no man left behind, that theme. And they would go in. And oftentimes they said the first thing they would do is they would not feed the prisoners and they'd be weak or maybe they'd be wounded and that's why they got captive. You know what they'd use the shield for? A litter to carry them out. Men that couldn't walk. When they went in and took those men out of their prison camps or captured them back, men that couldn't walk and men that couldn't go, soldiers take their shield, lay them down on the ground, take the man over and put him on the shield, lift the shield up and carry him out on the shield. How many times in my and your life has the Holy Ghost of God put us? I mean, we got taken captive by some junk. We got suckered into some kind of deal. We got ourselves in trouble and the devil got a hold of us. And you know what? The Holy Ghost came. And you listen to me tonight. That's why I believe what I believe. I'm going to tell you, if you're a child of God, God will not leave you in the camp of the prison. He'll not leave you in there. He'll come after you and He'll lay you on a litter and carry you out if He has to. He's our shield. Well, I'll tell you what tonight. This blesses my heart. The Holy Ghost of God looking over the people of God and taking care of the people of God. You know what? We ought to be like that to each other. We ought to go after each other. We ought to take care of each other. We ought to lay each other, carry each other out if we have to. But not only that, but there's also peace. There was peace in the shield. This is where the skin came in. They said that in battle, if a a group got overrun. And it looked like they were going to be trying to be taken captive. That they could run into the brush. Now watch this. Get down and lay a shield over them. Can anybody tell me what we call it nowadays?
Camouflage.
Animal skin. And did you know sometimes we're just, the fact of it is we're hidden God in Christ Jesus. We're hidden Christ. And sometimes when the devil gets after me, the shield, my shield just hides me in the Lord. Isn't it amazing, the Bible? The stuff that's in it. Some of you have heard about the red lilies in Israel, and I've seen them. It's truth. It's not some preacher story. In the land of Israel, at the base of the mountains, there's these fields of blood-red lilies. And it talks about the lily of the field, and it talks about the Christ as a lily. It's truth. As far as I know, it's the only one in the world that's blood-red. I mean, I've seen them. They're blood-red lilies, and they grow up, and they're about that high. And the old story is that the rabbits, he'd be out there going around, and all of a sudden, old fox or coyote will see that rabbit, and he'll go for him. And that rabbit always runs straight into those lilies. Runs in among those lilies. And you know what? The lilies put off a fragrance, and that fox or that predator cannot locate him because he loses his scent among the lilies. And you and I, this is what the shield is about. As we run into Christ, Satan loses our trail. And we're sheltered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he can't find us because we're hid in God in Christ. And we can have peace with God even though Satan may be after us. And the last thing I want to preach to you tonight is this, that a shield is a petition. Now, many of you right now are thinking about something you signed. That's not true. There's a wall right there, and it's a petition in this building. That's the kind of petition I'm talking about. A shield is a petition between that person and the enemy. And the Bible says God is our shield. It's a barrier. You remember in the book of Samuel where David, but while he was being chased by Saul, he had watched over Nabal's sheep while he was up in the mountains, and he had a sheep shearing, and he wanted to go down there and get some food and stuff for his soldiers. And one of the men of Nabal said this statement, and it's a beautiful picture. He said, David and his men were a shield about us, night and day. They were shielding them from the destruction of their animals and so forth. And I'm saying this to you, that God is a separator. And tonight God has a petition between me and evil. Let me say something to you. Whether you believe it or not, if you're in Christ, if you're saved, you're inside the shield. Are you listening to me? Watch this. There is a petition between you and this world. Somebody says, Reggie, what about when a Christian sins? Let me tell you what you'll get. You'll get chastisement or a casket. Take your pick. You read your Bible, you'll find out that if you won't pay attention to chastisement, God will put you in a casket. You're petitioned. He doesn't put you out on the other side of the shield. He takes you out. That's Bible. I didn't create that. That's God's. You say, well, I don't understand that. Didn't ask you if you understood it. That's Scripture. Many sleep. Read your Bible about communion. We are petitioned from this world. And that's what a shield does. And tonight, this is what I'm preaching. Truly saved people have a shield. It is a petition that separates you from this world. It's a peace so that you can be where you're hid in Christ. It's a prisoner rescue where you can be taken and carried back and taken care of when you're wounded. It's a purifier that clears the way for you. And it's a pavilion for you in the storm. And the shield is a picture of the Holy Ghost taking care of you so that you don't get robbed of the knowledge that your steps are ordered by the Lord, your security is in Christ, you rest in the Lord, you can be glad because you have a shield. Let's stand and go home.